Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. As we await the arrival of Barbara Gaines, the head of Chicago Shakespeare Theater, I'll tell you that from a little after 10 o'clock, Cheryl Reed will be in here to talk about her first novel. It's a tough, as you know, a tough publishing environment these days. And for Cheryl, a former investigative reporter and former book editor at the Chicago Sun-Times, it's quite an accomplishment. And her book, Poison Girls, is really something. I mean, it takes in Chicago cops, Chicago politics, a sort of epidemic of girls dying of heroin abuse. And here is the one and only, the greatest person in Chicago, Barbara Gaines. You just got finished with tech for the new show, didn't you? Just like
rehearsal.
5 minutes ago.
Huh? Yes, that's exactly right.
And so, Barbara, how did it go? Hi, honey.
It went really,
we're on. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It went.
You remember the grand informality of this show.
No, it was really fabulous. The costumes are magnificent. This is an interesting Taming of the Shrew because it's an all-female cast.
This I have to ask. You have not...
The most sexist play, really.
Yeah. No question.
No question about it.
But it's a play you have not directed in a couple decades?
Several decades. That's right.
Because what brought you back to it, and when you decided to come back to it, when did this notion, and I have to believe that the world, screwed up as it is what fueled the notion.
Well, that is so true, isn't it? The world is so totally screwed up. Here it is. You know, it came to me in a flash. It was not something I gave any thought to. It just, boom, it was just delivered to me. And what interests me about it is that since it is a very sexist play, and since, you know, it's almost impossible to do, I thought, well, if you do it with an all-female cast, we'll learn a lot about how women think men behave and the essence of men.
Yeah,
so it's
no
a woman's
kidding.
Point of view about that. And then I'm setting it in 1919, which is exactly the time in Chicago when
the suffrage movement
and that Congress voted for it. But this takes place the day before or moments before we learn that.
Yeah.
And so it's the women, you know, there's marching on Michigan Avenue. There's smoking on Wabash Avenue. And it's very Chicago. This takes place inside the Chicago Columbia Women's Club, and they're in competition with Mrs. McCormick's club.
Of course.
And so so it's a lot of fun because what's wonderful to me is that I see Shrew in a very different light now. I kind of see men in a different light. I mean, it sort of like goes in on itself. It folds in on itself. You know, first of all, women trying to understand what makes a man, at least the men in this play.
Oh, good
in these,
luck.
This
yeah.
play, right?
Yeah.
To understand them and why do you have to deny Kate food to teach her? Why do you have to deny her sleep? Why do you have to bully her? You know, all those things. And I'm not sure that we answer all these questions. We probably don't. But the audience...
No, but you raise the questions.
That's exactly right. You raise them and you have to wonder, no, there might be another way for enlightenment of a soul.
You know, one of the interesting ironies of this whole thing is one of the leading suffragettes in this city was the great Jane Addams. Mm. And now they want to rename this high-class hotel... For Jane Addams, and I'm like, you want to call it the Jane? I think that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It is a little confusing.
It's a slight lack of understanding of who Jane Addams is and was. Does it amaze you, Barbara? And it must, because you do so much Shakespeare, the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, that Shakespeare is so easy to. He would never be offended that. You set these plays in different times. Does it continue to amaze you how agile these plays are? How
flexible
these plays are?
Well, here's the thing. It does amaze me.
Yeah.
The thing about Shakespeare, though, is since he was writing about mostly ordinary people
sure.
and our behavior, that hasn't really changed in 400 years. We're still
which is sometimes very sad.
But sometimes very funny, and sometimes very inspiring. And let's face it, a mother who loses a child 400 years ago feels exactly the way a mother who loses a child today does. So there's so much. I mean, really, there's a book called Shakespeare, Our Contemporary by Jan Kott. And indeed, he is our contemporary. And I think as long as men and women roam the face of the earth, let's hope it's a long time, one wonders these days. But he is so relevant to our lives in that he doesn't judge us. I judge myself. How about you? Do you judge yourself?
We're
really rough on ourselves.
But
Shakespeare has a greater understanding than we do, I think.
Well, and to have Ron West, who I know pretty well, you're collaborating with him for the second time.
Yes.
Now, what was the first one?
Well, we had so much fun. It was a comedy of errors, and he wrote a frame of London. The whole thing took place in a film studio in London, Shepherd and Film Studios, during the Blitz. So the Nazis are bombing. We're trying to make a movie that will raise the joy level of the troops.
Sure.
So it's a comedy of errors. And you met some of the craziest people. And wasn't it fun?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a deep, deep embedded in my memory.
Right.
Why Ron? I mean, why?
Because I think he's funny.
Yeah.
He's really smart. Ron is a brilliant, smart, rigorous mind.
What did he think when you approached him about the Taming of the Shrew?
Well,
Ron,
you know,
let's work together again. Yes,
Ron
I do.
Ron said in a really deep voice, let me think about it. And then I went on and I tried to explain to him the ideas behind it. And he thought about it. And then we talked on the phone. He went back to L.A. He was in town for a while. And you know what? He's a joy to work with because he's one of the best listeners, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You write something and someone comes in and takes it apart and he listens. And then he comes up with ideas that are even better than the first idea.
Now, does he then, not to get too deep into the playwriting woods here, does he then go away or do you two sit and collaborate?
Well, tonight, we were sitting with our creative producer, Rick Boynton, and Heather Schmucker, and Ron, and me, and I wasn't doing most of the work. I was really listening.
Yeah.
And Rick and Ron just were back and forth with ideas, and it was kind of an honor to be in the room.
I'll bet.
Because they changed the script in sensational ways, and I'm just watching geniuses at work. You know what it reminded me of? I told this to them. I said, I feel like I'm in the movie My Favorite Year with Peter O'Toole and Mark Lynn Baker. And here I am watching these two geniuses, really, Rick and Ron.
Wow.
And it's thrilling to see something being born.
You know, what's amazing to me, Barbara Gaines, is your passion continues to grow. I mean, literally, you've come in here maybe once a year or once every couple of years, and we talk about, you know, dogs and dog training,
right.
And then we talk about Shakespeare and Shakespeare's plays. You've changed in 20 years.
My love, though, for communicating has not changed at all. I really feel mission-driven. And the first mission, of course, is to entertain and to just take people away from perhaps the headlines of today's newspapers. And then, you know, doing Shakespeare, it's incredibly entertaining, but it can also be really funny.
Don't you think, though, in the last 20 or even 30 years, that the whole notion of giving people a place to gather in person, as the world, to my mind, has gotten increasingly icy, the way we talk to each other, the way we communicate with each other.
Or not communicate with each other.
Exactly. That I just think it is so much more important. Am I making too much of this, Barbara?
No, you know, I think you've hit on the thing. Right. The thing is we have to learn to listen to each other better. Just because you vote for Trump and I vote for whomever doesn't mean we have to be enemies. I can learn from you, and you can learn from me. And you know what? I have in when I look at my life, look back.
Yeah.
I have many. I'm a Democrat. I have many Republican friends,
sure,
whom I would give my left lung to if they wanted it, or both.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in all honesty, I've learned a tremendous amount as a human being and as a responsible citizen from these people that I disagree with, but they give me so much.
Well, and I agree. And the point is to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Not to scream at one another.
Well, and the theater, that's correct. And the theater is a communal place.
No question.
Right? You sense that if there's laughter in the room, it spreads like the wave at a baseball game. Let's not talk about the Cubs today.
Loss. We got to take a break. We're going to spend at least the next half hour with Barbara Gaines. We're going to be talking about the Taming of the Shrew, an all-female production of that remarkable play. Also, it's a performance, The Band of Suffragettes in Chicago in 1919. Shakespeare would be proud. I don't remember when it premieres. It starts September 16th. We'll also talk about The Yard, which opens.
That's great.
But there's always stuff to talk about with Barbara Gaines. We'll be right back. Thanks, Roger. It's kind of like an apocalypse.
It is.
It sounds terrible, but indeed, life does go on. How wonderful was it for you, Barbara Gaines, to cast this show, taking advantage of all the amazing female actresses
in
the city?
I mean, it is
amazing. How big is the cast?
The cast is 13, lucky 13.
Wow, that's right.
And it was a joy to cast. And, you know, here's the thing. It's really, comedy is hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Dying is easy.
Dying
comedy
is, easy. Right,
is
right, right,
hard.
Right.
And we found some just fantastic people, like Heidi Kettering is in it, Hollis Resnick.
Right. Efe Baker.
And Efe, God.
She's
Faye
something.
Is
She's
incredible.
Something.
So we're just having a blast.
When you put out the call for actresses, did you, in that call, is it, hi, we're doing an all-female version, or did they learn when they came in?
Oh, no, they knew. They knew.
Okay.
Our casting director and his assistant, all the agents, wherever, know, because you really have to like the idea.
Exactly.
Or don't audition.
Well, what did you hear from some of them about the idea?
You know what? I hate to say this because it does sound like... there's a touch of ego.
So what?
But everybody came in thrilled with the idea. They loved it, first of all, because what a great way to do Shrew from a woman's point of view, women pretending to be men. and the conversation in the framework that Ron West is writing now, as we speak, he's writing it, the conversation about the women being uncomfortable with that last speech, which is a submission speech, right?
Yeah.
It is the speech that says, my husband is everything. I obey him. I'm just to show how much I gravel at his feet, I'll put my hand under his feet.
Right.
And so
right.
The women, even in 1919, are having a lot of problems with that last speech.
This as I see the play, each one of these women has to play two roles.
Oh, my gosh. And some more.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that if you could.
Well,
Barbara.
You know, you only have 13 people, and it's a big cast. So I've edited Shrew, and Ron's, it's a story within a story.
Right.
You have these wonderful Chicago, very aristocratic women, who are part of this women's club who need to put this play on to complete the canon, And they are, you know, their devotion to Shakespeare is great. Their devotion to suffrage, some of them are not suffragettes in the beginning of the play.
Right,
so you have the disagreement with the 19th Amendment should never be passed. It will destroy families. And then you have the other side saying it must pass because we need equal rights.
Yeah.
And of course you look, that was 98 years ago, 1919.
Well,
98 years ago, and women are still fighting, and there are so many groups still fighting for equal rights.
Well, also, you know, the other thing where this play, when you people see it, will resonate. It's not just, I don't think, it is certainly, the Women's March and it's going on here. This is a worldwide kind of problem.
It is. And what in some ways we've made great progress over the last 100 years, but it has been too slow. And all of us should be hugely impatient because we know you're shaking your head.
Yeah,
because human rights, we don't really have a democracy unless everyone has equal opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And an equal chance to get ahead. And so you'll see, really, which is fun. And we do it with comedy, which is
right.
really fun.
Which I think is...
No preaching here. It's
exactly.
going to be funny.
Exactly.
So the same... In other words, this is great for your audience to know because... So listen, the women are really upset with the president. The women are really upset with Congress. And the joy is that it's deja vu all over again. They're complaining about President Wilson.
Right.
You know,
right,
and
right.
all of the problems 98 years ago. And nothing really has changed in that respect.
You know,
Washington is still Washington.
One of the crazy things about Woodrow Wilson is there's a guy in Chicago, you might like his name, William Hazelgrove, who wrote a fascinating book about 6 months ago about how when Wilson had a stroke, and Wilson had a severe stroke,
yes.
his wife,
Mrs.
Edith Wilson
yep.
basically became the first woman president of the
that's
United
exactly
States.
That's exactly right.
That's an amazing story.
It is. She did a pretty good job.
She did a great job.
Right.
She did a great job.
Yeah.
Sort of smarter than he was
right.
in some.
This is a really good book. What's that book? There's a great biography of Wilson. I just can't remember.
I don't remember, but this one, I think this
yeah.
one is called Madam President, I
oh, really?
Think.
That's
and it's good. And he's a
Haven't
local, he's a Chicago writer. So all of these, this is a lot of work for
oh
these
my
actresses, isn't
oh,
it? Just came from a dress rehearsal.
I just came from hours of work with them. And their first time they put on their costumes and their wigs. They're an astoundingly talented group of actresses who are just give you, every day they give you 110%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an honor to be in the room with them. And
yeah.
you laugh a lot, which is wonderful.
How have you changed as a, can you sense, probably not in because this is such a different kind of version of Taming of the Shrew, how you as a director have changed in the two decades since? Who cares?
You know
I
what?
Mean, frankly,
you know,
that's a
you know,
stupid
it's many
question.
Yeah. Many decades. I've been directing now for 31 years, and I think, yeah. And I think I've changed because I've worked with such great people that I trust more, and I listen better.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to leap off of cliffs,
yeah.
really tall cliffs,
yeah.
you know. And you know, you don't always land on a cushion.
Correct.
Right? But
correct.
But traveling, I'll tell you what's been so great, and you will really appreciate this, is that my journey here in Chicago as an ex-New Yorker, but my journey of 30-something years, I, nowhere else in the country, or in London for that matter, could I have spent my life with some of the most extraordinarily talented and generous people as we have in Chicago's theater community.
Yeah.
I can't get over that I'm... Yeah. was so blessed as to be here for so long.
Well, also the whole notion of you putting on your first production on kind of the upstairs at the Red Lion Pub 30-some years ago and then putting on productions here and expanding.
Right.
Expanding, sort of introducing William Shakespeare to a couple right. generations now.
Right. Yes, that's really true. We have kids who were high school students at the old theater 30
sure.
years ago who are now bringing their children. Geez, that really makes me feel old, but it's a good feeling too. But I have to tell you that we're about to have a ribbon cutting
I know,
for the yard.
When is it?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
And I really do have to mention, I mean, my business partner of about 27,
sure.
28 years, Chris Henderson, really this is his brainchild.
Well,
I'm
going to talk to you about it after the news.
Great.
You can give him all the credit. It sounds like the most exciting theater space that I've actually ever, ever, ever heard of. So please stay tuned. We'll have more with Barbara Gaines. You can get a lot of information at chicagoshakes.com, but you can get even more by just staying put and staying tuned. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Cogan. We've been talking to Barbara Gaines, who founded at the Red Lion Pub 30-some years ago, the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. It now is the only, to my mind, reason to go to Navy Pier, except there's a nice Phil Stefani restaurant there, and there's WBZ, and there's a Billy Goat there, too. Go to chicagoshakes.com to learn all about the new production of Taming of the Shrew, which starts momentarily, because Barbara's in tech dress rehearsal, but on Tuesday there is a special ribbon cutting for what I think is among the most exciting bits of theater news imaginable. It is the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the opening of the Yard at Chicago Shakespeare. I'm going to let you rave about this. The first show starts there on December 19th.
September.
Yeah. September 19th. The Yard is amazing. It takes the place of that, and you don't have to say this, that horrifying, I hated the Skylight, whatever theater that was called. I hated it.
Well, we put it to good use.
Yes.
You know, Chris Henderson, as I mentioned before the break, his brainchild. We have Gordon Gill, the great architect who designed the lobby. We have Charcoal Blue Consultants out of London. And between all of them, they came up, what we really wanted was a truly flexible space for the future.
Yeah.
We wanted the artists who come in after us to have a white canvas, so to speak. So here's the idea. Do you want me to go into this?
Oh, yeah.
This is really fun.
It's amazing. Yeah, go into it.
Okay, so imagine a London bus standing upside on its butt, so to speak. It's about 78 feet tall. And there are three levels to each tower. We call them towers. They weigh about 35,000 pounds for each tower. And they have three levels of seating. And they get to move around into like 12 different configurations because of 0.338-inch air casters. Mm. And you can have three men. I call it a hernia-free zone because all you have to do is push them, and they move across a beautifully flat and finished cement floor. It's remarkable. And so then we have, you know, risers, and it will go – it's so flexible. It goes – you can have a 450 seat in the round.
Right.
You can have a 700-plus seats proscenium. I mean, you can have a traverse like a tennis court, so and you can have really what you want. In fact, the Cue Brothers are coming in for Christmas time and doing their their Christmas show.
When you first saw the plans for this, I mean, I can see the plans, and it's still I know it's not going to. The plans won't even do it justice until I see it in person.
Yeah.
But when you sat down and when this thing was all being conceptualized, it must have been like something out of a Star Trek movie.
Well, it was really very exciting, I have to say. It was, and I have to say that the city was incredible because from the very beginning, the fire inspectors were there at the table with everybody, and the city was just a tremendous help. You know, because no one has ever done this before in the world.
Yeah.
So we had to go through the rigor of, and we wanted to go through the rigor of, you know, how will we get, you know, the sprays for in case there's a fire? How do you get the air conditioning and the heating? And the amazing thing is that each tower is its own ecological tower.
Wow.
So you have electricity, you have the rain sprinkler system, you have air, and you have electricity. Each one plugs in to the wall. Or plugs into somewhere. And it is, I mean, it is, I can't tell you. It's breathtaking to look at.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You stand on the stage and you go, oh, my gosh. I think it surprised all of us in terms of the reality of it versus the plans.
When you planned, because of the spectacular physical spaces that you can create, in planning the first season, this was a first season meant to showcase what this thing can do.
We certainly wanted to do that, you know, but we also know that, so we're starting in a proscenium kind of setting and with a great artist. He's been here twice and has sold out both times. James Tirrey, Charlie Chaplin's grandson, and Eugene O'Neill's great-grandson. And he does have the genius gene. Many people here in Chicago saw him in two shows we've brought, Au Revoir Parapluie and The Bright Abyss. And he is, a singular performer. There are no words. There's just phenomenal music and stagecraft. And he tells stories, sometimes in the air, sometimes in just magical, always magical ways.
Mm.
And so there's our first show, which is this great international star. And ladies, he's very sexy and totally adorable. And then we'll have, you know, those – then I think we have something, a wonderful show from Mexico, Amarillo. And then again, I think that will also be in a proscenium way. And then
you
for
have the Q Brothers.
The Q Brothers, which is fun because we're going to make the whole place a cabaret.
Oh,
so there
right.
are tables and chairs, and it's just like you're in, you know, Joe's in New York.
The seating can go from, you know,
to 100?
Hundreds to
maybe 800. We'll see. We're still dealing with how many chairs are in each configuration.
Barbara Gaines, you continue to amaze me. You continue to also inspire me. Barbara runs and founded and directs the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, the new production of The Taming of the Shrew, all-female cast, set in. It's so funny. Fiona, the child, did her latest paper on the suffrage movement.
No,
she was like,
seriously.
Dad, did you know Jane Addams was big in the suffrage? I go, yeah.
You are going to bring her to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
great. No, there's no question. She's ready.
Terrific.
She's so ready for this. Barbara, you know how much I admire you. You know how much I love you.
I feel the same
and
way.
And go home and rest. You were in the middle of dress rehearsal. She's got a Tuesday ribbon cutting for the Yard, which is
and then I'm pitching for the Cubs.
That's right. Then she's gonna bring the Cubs back after this horrible, horrible, horrible weekend for them. I adore you, honey. Take care. Go to ChicagoShakes.com for all sorts of information. You can get kind of a sneak preview of the Yard on the site. It is not going to be the same as seeing it. I'll tell you that right now. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Thanks, honey. You're the best.